to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Shit just ain't ending for me, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. It's like, I guess you get old and shit breaks down and all that stuff. Shit's breaking down on a fucking new irregular level.
You're just getting older, motherfucker.
Hey, you're old too, fuckhead.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, oh yeah, I am.
You're older than me. Why you busting my fucking balls, huh?
That's what I do, sir. That's what I'm paid for.
Yeah, true. That's true. And you fucking produce. So, anyway. Got a new fucking ailment. First off, I can't get my fucking colonoscopy because my heart's freaking out. So I gotta get something shoved up my ass. Sometime this month here in March. But the latest thing is I got something called a sciatic nerve problem. I don't know if any of you people have had this fucking problem, but it's my new fucking problem, and I'm fucking tired of it.
Did you throw your back out jerking off?
No, I did not throw my back out jerking off. No, I don't know what happened. I mean, I was at the gym, I worked out, I went out with my girl, we had a good time, and then go to bed. And sleep wrong, and then the next day I can't get out of fucking bed.
Do you think you need a clapper at this point?
Dude, I'm not that fucking old. Fuck you.
It helps, as I'm saying, I clap my hands, and Ronaldo comes and helps me out of bed.
Who the fuck's Ronaldo?
I gotta go take a shit.
Well, thank God you gotta take a shit. So I don't know. I'm breaking down, people. And I don't know why, and I don't like it. Fucking, there's a new problem every fucking week, it seems like. Makes no sense. I don't know. I'm 56, and I think at 55 is when I started kind of feeling it. But now, you know, I was doing pretty good this year. You know, I've been exercising, got out and did my stuff. I'm staying in shape. I got my friends. I got a new girlfriend. She's keeping me happy and all this, and then here we are. And that's the thing. That's the funny thing, is I got this new girl, right? And, first off, hey, I'm getting a colonoscopy. I'm going to get something shoved at my fucking ass. And the prep and all that. And I'm talking to her, oh, shit, my brain's out over here. And she's like, hey, come down. I don't know that wild. I don't even need your shit patterns or nothing like that. Alright, enough. So anyway, she's nice enough to take me, and then the heart thing happens. She's like, oh, you got a heart problem now. Okay, so first off, you got high blood pressure, you got a heart problem, what's next? Sciatic nerve. Motherfucker. Sucks. Fucking tired of this shit. Ugh. I think we need some metal here. Why don't we get something really, fucking brutal? I'm just gonna throw it at you. Something heavy, motherfuckers. Let's do it. Bring back the ice. I wanna hear your neck rise. Anyway, I am thirsty. We've got a great show tonight. I'm very honored to have Jeff Pilsen back on the show, formerly of Dokken'er and now in Foreigner. So, and the End Machine. This guy's doing a lot. He's doing producing. He's playing around. He's a very busy man, and thank goodness he made time to talk to your boy Ragman here. So I got Jeff coming up here at the end of the show, but I thought I'd do a quick show. Talk about a few things, but before we do, Mr. G, I'm thirsty, sir. I don't get it. I don't understand why that turns him on so much, but it does, and we all have to deal with it. So, tonight, we got the Celestial. This one's called Perception. Okay, it's a West Coast IPA with Comet, Centennial, and Citro Cryo hops. So let's see what this guy looks like. Clocks in around 7%. And usually with your West Coast, it's a little bit more clear. This one is very clear. I'm hoping for some dankness. I like danky West Coast IPAs because I guess a previous guest on the show, a guy named Adam, has been on and he got me stuck on these bad boys. So appearance-wise, this thing looks really beautiful. It's nice little kind of sudsy head. Let me see if there's any lacing. There's no lacing, but a soapy head, I like that. It's just staying there too. It's not really going down or anything like that. It's clear as pitch. There's, you know, you got your carbonation coming up and stuff like that. So very nice. You know, break the can real quick. It's really cool. They do some really cool stuff at Celestial. They got these eyeballs looking at you. over these statues, and it says Perception. So I looked at this, so I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I like that. So what style of beer is it? And of course, West Coast, IPA. Your boys got to try it. So let's go with the aroma. Yeah, it smells stank. I like the smell of this thing. All right, so the true test is the taste, as we all know. Clink myself. Wow. That's surprising. It's a bit malty. And I'm not used to getting malty beers from Celestial. I usually do their hazy IPAs and stuff like that. So this one is unfortunately not doing a lot for me. Let me do one more drink here. There are some citrus notes, a little bitter on the back end. The maltiness is what's kind of killing it for me. So guys, I'm going to have to give you a 3 on this one. I'm sorry, but it's just not kicking my ass. So I tell you what, I'm going to do a little thing here. We do have Jeff at the end of the show. So, you know, he's not a part of either one of these bands anymore, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a little quick chit chat about. So we're going to play a brand new song I discovered here recently from Lynch Mob. Big Lynch Mob guy, like the mob. They're really solid over there. This is off their new record, Babylon. It is kind of a cool song. At first, I don't know if I was really crazy about the vocalist, but the more I listen to it, I kind of like it. And George sounds great, as always. And he's in the End Machine, as you know. So, you know what? Let's do a little Lynch Mob. This one's called Time After Time. That song, it's really cool. I really like the kind of rhythm there, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes we can't play solos or all that way through, but very cool solo by George. And I gotta say, man, I've been a fan of his for years, as you all know. Actually, probably one of my favorite guitar players of all time, and he's just this guy that just keeps on coming up with great riffs, great solos, just so tasteful. He had a period where he did some different stuff that I wasn't a huge fan of, I'll be honest, but I really love what he has done with Lynch Mob over the last several years when they kind of got back together with Oney Logan. And unfortunately, Oney's not in the band anymore. I'm a huge, huge Oney Logan fan. What a great vocalist. And I got the honor of interviewing him once and meeting him. A great guy, great guy. Not sure what he's up to. I know he was doing Dio Disciples. It just bumps me out that now that Lynch Mob is going to be officially done, I think after this tour, I think that's what George is saying. I kind of wish they could have just had Oney and George on one last tour, one last time, one last record. It would have been very cool for me. The new vocalist is good. I don't know. He's not Oney. I think when I think of Lich Mob, I think of Oney Logan, Robert Mason, amazing guy, amazing talent, with even with the In Machine, which was kind of like Lich Mob with, you know, Robert back. But that said, Oney for me is the vocalist of Lich Mob. So bummed to hear that. He's not going to be back, or they're not going to do any more work together, or maybe they will in the future. I don't know. Hopefully we can talk to George one day and ask him, or even talk to Oney and see kind of where his head's out. But I wanted to play that because, not just because we're going to talk to Jeff at the end of the show, but I think it'd be interesting to do kind of a comparison. We're going to do two of those tonight, people. This one was the first one. So the last Lich Mob record, okay, you know, quote unquote, they all say that, right? We all know it. It's pretty cool. I haven't listened to the whole thing, and I have not listened to the whole new Dokken record either. But I wanted to pick, it's like kind of a something that Genghis and I used to do, like a Clash of the Titans, where we do band against bands. We had the Metallica versus Megadeth, but we do catalogs and stuff like that. What I'm kind of doing tonight is new song versus new song from, you know, other bands that these guys were in. So, you know, of course, George was in Dokken. We all know the story. I don't have to go through the history of it. We don't have 10 hours to talk about this. But anyway, that was the Lich Mob. I like it. It's got a good little kind of catchy groove. I love the little riff. So next, we're going to hear some new Dokken. And I think I've talked about this already. I heard one song and it was not super. Actually, I think it's called Desperado or something like that. The song is not bad, but the video, it was just hard to watch Don. He just looks, I know he's in poor health. He's got back problems, stuff like that. It's kind of like, I think we need to do a lyric video. We don't need live action. I can't get around like I used to. Just like Ragman. I got sciatic nerve problems. I don't know if he has that, but I have that. Anyway, let's play some new Dokken. This one's called Over the Mountain. And it's not a cover of Ozzy, I promise you. Let's do it. Okay, well, there you got some Dokken. Not great, not horrible, just average, kind of boring. And no offense to Don. I mean, he's getting up in age, whatever. He can't hit the high notes. We've talked about this. Like, you know, he still sounds good in the lower register, but I don't know. The songwriting to me, if you compare, and again, we're not doing comparisons on that. So if I'm going to pick a band between Lich Mob and Dokken, post the original band of Dokken, it's going to be Lich Mob all day. And maybe it's because I'm more of a Lynch fan. I love Don's vocals. I think now he's on the end of his career. He's got the health issues, and he can't hit the notes. And does he need to hang it up? I don't know. I think it gets in guys' blood where they just can't let go, right? And I get it. I don't want them to go, but if you're not putting out a good product anymore, then maybe it's time to head off in the sunset. Or maybe not call it Dawkins. Maybe just do Don Dawkins. You know, take away the name and still go out and perform if you want to, but you can't do it anymore. So at some time in your life, you got to say, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. Had a great career. Hopefully I have some money in the bank after what I've done. But I don't know. If you know, George has said, hey, Lynch Mob's done. I'm going to do some stuff here and there. And then I'm going to go ahead. And if I tour, I'm going to play stuff from about everything I've ever done. So Dawkins, Lynch Mob, probably the End Machine, whatever is in his wheelhelm that he wants to play. And the guy's done a sweet Lynch. I'm just a huge fan of George's guitar playing, songwriting. To go back to Dawkins, John Levin is an amazing guitar player as well. Great solos. But I don't know, the songs just don't have the punch. And I'm not sure who's writing the majority of the songs, if it's Don, because I know Don had a hand in writing stuff early on with the band and stuff like that. But post, you know, George, Jeff, Mick being in the band, is he writing everything now? They have done some great records post George and Jeff and Mick, but I don't know. I think it's time to maybe call it a day. I hate to see Lynch Mob leave, just being such a fan of that band for so long. But I don't know. Everybody has their day. Everybody's got to call it a day and say, I'm done. So that leads me to our last comparison of the night. And, you know, I teased about this one a while back. I thought this would be a lot of fun just because this one guy came out with a new song and it was so good. And I'm like, huh, what would be the odds of me just like doing the little thing over here between the two bands? So what I'm talking about here is Ace Frehley versus Kiss. And Kiss hasn't put anything out since Monster. And it's probably a good thing because Monster was an abomination. And it was funny, I was listening tonight, just trying to find something that I thought might be listenable. And oh my God, dude, there was nothing I could even listen to. It was so bad. So I picked the lesser of all evils during this little comparison here. But I tell you what, we're going to go with Ace first. Again, this new record, 10,000 Volts, is pretty strong. Well, hold on. I take that back. It's good. It's probably the best thing he's done in a bit. But listening to some of the songs, I'm like, I wanted something more than this. But it's not bad. It's not bad. I'll tell you what. So we're going to go with a song. Actually, an upbeat song. I really dug this one. I thought it was pretty cool. This one's called Fighting for Life. A little Ace Frehley. Let's do it. That was Ace Frehley, Fighting for Life. I gotta say, I really dug that song. Kind of harkens back to the older, you know, classic Ace Frehley sound from maybe the 78 record into some of the stuff he was doing in when he started his first, like, Frehley's Comet type thing. I really dug that song. He sounds really good. There are some songs on that record that are a little bit cheesy, which I don't know. Maybe more listens where I maybe I'll be more of a fan about it. But early on, I'm like, eh, I don't know. And that's the thing. I've talked about this a lot, where the older I've gotten in this whole new Spotify generation, it seems like my, I guess, concentration or patience for records has waned a bit. Where I used to like, I gotta hear every song, every note, every you know, tom, basic double bass kick, whatever. There was a lot of that going on, and then now it's like, if it doesn't catch my interest in the, you know, by the first chorus, I'm like, done, gone, see ya. You know, I'm bored. So I kind of did that with Ace's new record. There are a few songs I was listening all the way through. I'm like, oh, wow, this is really good. And I know Steve Brown had told me that, dude, you're going to be blown away. It's freaking amazing. And it is good. It's. I would say it's the best thing he's done in a long time, which Steve kind of said as well. But there are a few songs I'm like, eh. And I don't know. I wanted to love the whole thing. And I talked to my brother about it. And we were both thinking, oh, dude, Ace is back. You know, 10,000 Volts. And actually, my brother, at first, 10,000 Volts didn't really stick with him. It stuck with me. I was like, ah, I like this, man. And I like the band coming in, doing the backing vocals. Good guitar solo. Just a really good, well-written song. So, case in point, Ace's former band Kiss, they just hung it up, just at the end of last year. But the last record they put out was a record called Monster, which I thought was really bad at the time, but I think it's even worse now. Trying to pick a song to play, just to give it a comparison, because I promised this a few episodes back. I said, all right, when Ace's record comes out, let me listen to it. Let me pick his best song versus Kiss's best song off Monster. But trying to find a good song on Monster is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Whoa!
Nice rim shot.
I didn't do the rim shot. You did, sir.
I'll take you.
Are you? Okay, never mind. Anyway, so I searched and searched and searched. I think this may be the best song. It's just so bad. And I gotta say, this could be the worst Kiss record ever released. It's so bad. And they had that deal with Walmart. I think they made a ton off it for them, for that sake. And my dumbass bought it when it came out. But I don't know. Here you go. I'm warning you, people. This one's called Eat Your Heart Out. I'm going to eat my ears off because I don't want to hear this anymore. All right, Lil' Kiss.
Eat your heart out, baby. Oh, won't you give me something sweet? Eat your heart out, baby. A hot mess is just what I need.
Even know what that fucking intro was. It was fucking horrific. It was. I don't like it. The song itself's okay. It's not great. It's not Kiss. It's not Kiss. Face it! It's not fucking Kiss. Why'd I buy this? I don't know. Drinking the fucking Kool-Aid like a million other motherfuckers. Thinking, we're gonna have a Kiss record. Not buying Cheater Chris or... I forget the other fucking thing he said. But Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer playing Peter Criss and Ace Frehley. Oh, Fake Frehley. Sorry, Fake Frehley. I don't know. And it's good. After you hear Monster, you really can validate Kiss hanging it up and say, you know what? Good choice. You're done. I mean, not only they're like, problems with tours and lip syncing, and I heard they still put on just a phenomenal show. But again, if they're not really singing or playing, I don't want to see it. You can just, you know, play all these great, you know, have all the pyrotechnics, have the huge fucking screens, and fucking, you know, throw a great fucking show. But I want to see the guys play, and if they can't play or sing like they used to, or it doesn't even have to be that. If they lose it, I get it, that's fine. But if you can't perform or sing in a good way anymore, you should shut it down. It's time to go. And the band that defies everything is the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones, I don't know how they do it, but those guys are still killing it. I mean, again, it's, you know, Keith, Mick, and Ronnie out there. But I tell you what, they still sound great. They got all these other great musicians behind them, but there's no backing tracks that I'm aware of. I mean, there's been no real, hey, the Stones are faking it out there. None of that. I tell you what, let's play a song called Angry off the new Stones record. It's pretty solid. Let's do it. Story short, out of the two, I gotta say Ace has really brought it. I think that if the guys would have put their bullshit aside, which we talked about, and just let Ace and Peter come back for the Hall of Fame, you know, maybe how cool would it have been to do a true Kiss record to end it all with the original guys. They said they were going to do that on Psycho Circus, and we find out it's bullshit, lies. I love Psycho Circus. I can't lie. That was a great fucking record. But it just bums me out that you have these talents, and these guys that worked cohesively at one point can't get it together for the fucking end. Which leads to a question I bring up to Jeff Pilson. Will Doc could ever do it again? The original four guys, maybe a record, a tour, who knows? You know, no offense, Don Dockett. I don't think you listen. If you do, apologies, sir. But you're not what you used to be. Who is? I mean, I'm fucking falling apart over here with heart problems, fucking sciatic nerve problems. I can't get colonoscopies done. I got lots of problems too. I get it. But as a fan, I think it would be very cool to see these iconic bands end the way they started. Will it happen? A lot of these guys can't get past the bullshit that they went through. And I get it. We're all humans. We don't all get along. We all have problems. But it would be great to see that with some of these bands. On that note, people, I'm done for now. Because I have a great interview with Jip Pilson, bassist, formerly of Dokken, now in Foreigner, been doing Foreigner for a long time, producer, but also the End Machine. So, Jeff is coming up, but before I let you go, I want to say thank you for listening. I want to say thank you for all the nice comments you send me, and I really appreciate all your support. Before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big hoes up.
Hey, this is Jeff Pilson of the End Machine, and you're listening to the Ragman Show. Horns up.
Ragman, and you got this awesome bass player. This guy's been in a lot of bands. You know him from Dokken, Foreigner, and now the End Machine, or not now. He's been doing this for a little while. So, Jeff, welcome back. I don't know if you remember me, but we talked several years ago, and I don't remember what you were promoting at the time because it's been a little while. But welcome back, man.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, hey, let's jump into this. The End Machine's got a brand new record coming out on March 9th on Frontiers called The Quantum Phase. So before we jump into the record, there's been a big change. Robert Mason's left. I'm assuming because of duties and warrant or scheduling or something like that.
Well, actually, and this is a tough thing to talk about because just because Robert's not in the band anymore doesn't mean he did something wrong. You know, he did not. Let's get that clear. Robert's great. I love Robert. He's a friend and I love him. I think he's great all around. So he did nothing wrong. What happened though is the label, Serafino in particular, he approached us and said, listen, we want you to hear this guy. So George and I listened and we decided to give it a try. And when the writing came together so quickly and so organically and naturally, we were sold. So it's, you know, it was a tough decision to make, but I think we made the right one. And I am over the top excited about this record. I couldn't be more proud of it. And Serafino was probably right. I think this is going to lift the band up another notch.
Well, I tell you what, Girish Pradhan, I hope I said his last name right. That guy's amazing. I know him from Gears and the Chronicles.
Right.
And I remember seeing a video, their first like single. I'm like, holy shit, who are these guys? And I think they're from like India or something like that.
Yes.
It's like the first metal band that I, or rock band that I knew from India, and the guy's got such great pipes.
He's so amazing. He's a great writer too. That's the key. You know, he's a singer and a writer. That's wow, what a combo. And he's a great guy. His attitude was really great. It really was. You know, we lucked out. We really did. We got a great guy in the band, and I think it did lift. His energy has definitely brought the band up, into a degree. And man, what more could you ask for?
Well, I think it's pretty amazing because I think we went for a period of time where it was just the old guard. There was no really new vocalist coming out, and then you get a guy like Dino Jelusic, and now you have Gearish, and like, holy shit, there's hope for the future. These guys are bringing back the love of Ronnie James Dio and all these great vocalists of our time.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Finding a new guy who, and see, I think that's one of the reasons why he was such a great writer for this project, is because he comes from this. This is what he grew up on. So I think he brings a really nice additional energy, you know, that fan energy. It kind of reminds me of like what I got to bring to Foreigner, you know? I mean, I was a Foreigner fan. So when I joined Foreigner, I brought that fan energy in that I think is really helpful. It really gives a band the perspective to know what to do to please the fans, because it's natural. It's just, you're not trying, and that's a big deal.
So I think something I grabbed from what you said a little bit ago is when you guys decided to move forward with Gearish, did you and George decide to write to the vocals? Or is it you had the songs ready? Is like, all right, put your signature on it.
No, George and I write the music, and then we send it to him, and then we go back and forth because he was in India with emails and Zoom calls and all that kind of stuff to collaborate. But he primarily did it. I mean, you know, again, there was some suggestions. There was many needs for rewrites, which is not an easy thing to do for a writer. But he came through, which is amazing. And then he would take our suggestions. Sometimes I'd send him a little MP3 of something, you know, with a vocal idea. But you know, he primarily did it, and it came out amazing. And that's, like I say, that's what really sold us. You know, the first couple songs that we got back from him were great. Actually, one of them was Killer of the Night, the second video, and that kind of that sold us right there.
Single and video is really awesome. I had a question. Did you shoot that the same day as you did Silent Winter, or separate shoots?
No hiding that from the certainly in the same place. No hiding that.
That's okay. Once at night, once in the day.
It's a theme.
Yeah, there you go. But no, seriously, I've been blown away by the record. Gearish's vocals. It's so funny, when I saw the first video for Silent Winter, I'm like, He kind of looked like Michael Sweet for a second before the camera panned in. It was like, no, he's got a darker tan than Michael. He just got that kind of the beard. Yeah, a little bit. And he kind of sings like Michael a little bit, too, when he hits the really high notes. Or at least I hear that.
Oh, interesting. I've never myself heard. Maybe the high notes, I guess I could see. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
So, when did you actually first meet Girish? Was it for the video shoot?
Maybe we did the video.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we'd met on Zoom calls and lots of stuff. Yeah, but no, I mean, actually touching hands and shaking hands in person, that was the day we did the video.
So, let me ask you this. I mean, like you said, when you joined Foreigner, was there any kind of like fanboy thing? Like, oh my God, you guys are my idols or any of that? Or it didn't work out like that?
When I joined Foreigner?
Oh, well, you and then Girish joining you guys. You and George are legends, Girish, right?
Well, so. I mean, he's very respectful and he's very open with the fact that, yeah, he was a big fan. But it doesn't come across as fanboy at all. And he feels like an equal. So that's, you know, it's not like that. But it's nice when there's a respect. And even more than that, it's great when there's common communication because he knows what we're going for and we all feel it. And that's something money can't buy. That's only chemistry that provides that. And it's his talent and his aptitude. And again, his attitude. You know, his attitude is so amazing when it comes to delivering the goods and working hard. Because again, the hardest thing for any writer to do is to be told, no, that's not good enough. You got to do a rewrite. That's really hard. And he came through. And when he did the rewrites, it was so amazing. You know, again, I'm a big fan of his now.
Awesome. Well, when you and George sit down to write, how do you guys write? Do you, I mean, you've been doing it for decades, but is it George sends you an idea or you send an idea to George? Do y'all ever get in a room at Jam anymore? Or?
Well, that's most of the time we do, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Most of our writing is done. The only time he and I worked remotely was in the pandemic. We did a record called Heavy Hitters, our first Heavy Hitters record, and that was all done remotely. Even though George doesn't live far from me at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was that. I mean, in the early days of the pandemic, you know, it could kill you. And we were older guys. So we were, you know, George especially was really careful during the pandemic. So we did one record remotely. But no, most of the time we write. Generally what happens, he comes over. We set him up. And either he's got like some little riff on his phone. But you know what? I want to say maybe, you know, it's 50-50. So he'll come in with a riff on his phone, or we just set up. I put up a drum beat, and he starts coming up, and he's brilliant. So he's just coming up with shit. I mean, the guy is a riff machine. And then once some little spark happens, then, okay, where should that go? And we work together, and that's when the magic happens.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, let's jump into the record. Again, the Quantum Phase. I want to bring up a track called Hell or High Water. I really dig that track. It's got a good up-tempo melody. And George's solo in that is so amazing. Can you tell me a little bit of how that song came together?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be ashamed to admit it. The first thing that happened was George started playing. Well, actually, the riff wasn't quite like it ended up. It was different when he first started playing it, but we realized, oh, wow, that's kind of Deep Purplish. That's cool. Yeah. So, you know, we went after it, and then we did our thing where we just kind of collaborated, and the music fell together, and was like, wow, this feels really good. And then Girish came up with the vocals, and that one was one that had very little rewrite. I mean, I think there might have been there was a couple suggestions here and there, but overall he came up with most of it and it was great and it fell together great and the song, it feels great and it's like, wow, this is really cool.
It's a very cool song. Another one I want to bring up is Stand Up. Good mid-tempo rocker, a really kind of cool little groove you got going on in there.
Yeah.
I really dig that. And then Girish, man, he sang his ass off on that song, man. Can you tell me a little bit about that one? I love that. That's a great song.
Thank you. Is it really interesting? I wouldn't call it my favorite, but it's in there, you know, in the group at the top. Really cool song. Well, you know, it was We were looking for just a, in fact, you know, our working title was, oh, what was it? It was something I can never remember. Something, but it had the word strut in it, the working title, because it just had this strut. Yeah, and yeah. I think that was one, I think, where we put up a drum beat and he just started coming up with the riff. Because, we wanted a mid-tempo song. And he came up with the riff. And then we did our thing where we take the riff and then we figure out where do we go from here. And we come up with all the parts. And, you know, that's when, I mean, George and I are so fortunate in our chemistry. It just flows, you know. Lots of laughs, lots of fun, but hard work that flows. I mean, and he and I both cherish that. We both know that this is a wonderful, rare thing that we've had for over 40 years now together. But it's still there and it's still magical. And that was one. And then as soon as Girish came in, we realized this is a song of empowerment. And that's such a great, and I think it stands up well because that's, that strut was, that was what we wanted. We wanted something, you know, like, yeah, I can do this, you know? And so much of the record is talking about dark things that empowerment was an important message to get across to kind of counter the negativity of some of the dark visions in some of the songs. So that was a fun one. It was fun to come together, and then it was fun that the vocals ended up being so powerful and empowering.
Oh yeah, for sure. So let me ask you, as far as lyric writing, is that coming from Girish, or do you all three kind of write the lyrics?
It's primarily Girish. We have our suggestions. I don't remember how much lyrically we suggested, you know, more direction than lyric, but there was some lyrics I think we suggested. And but I think lyrically it was mostly Girish.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, I want to bring up another one, and another early favorite is Shattered Glass Heart. I love this upbeat stuff, but I love mid-tempo. I've always liked, I think, more mid-tempo stuff more than the do-do-do-do. It just depends, right? But sure. That's another one that's just, the chorus is so catchy. It's just a really good, well-written song.
Yeah, well, that was one of the songs that was something else earlier. And it had to be rewritten, I think, a couple times, actually. And then when he came up with that chorus, I'm like, wow. And then it worked great for the bridge, or for the ending, for the outro, which I had kind of come up with. It was stellar. But he came up with the lyric and melody for the chorus. And that, like I say, that was a couple rewrites, but then that was like, nailed it. I agree with you. I just think that's a fabulous song with a really catchy chorus. You know, it's too bad we're not in the radio days, because I think that could have been a radio track.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So let me ask you this. So you've done two videos. Do you guys pick the songs that you want to do the videos for? Or does the label say, I like this one, I like this one, let's, you guys do that? Or how does that work?
It's mostly the label. It's the label pretty much that picks them. You know, I mean, they let us have input on it. You know, what do you guys think? But primarily it's their call.
Do you have any other videos planned, or is that kind of it for now?
I know there's something planned for the opening track of the album, Black Hole Extinction. I think it's a lyric video or something like that. And then Hell or High Water is going to be a B-roll footage video.
Oh, nice, nice.
Which we thought it fit the fun. There's a fun thing about Hell or High Water, you know. There's a fun, positive motion about it. And there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff in the B-roll footage. So that's going to come together, which I think is going to be a really fun video. They got a lot of cool B-roll stuff. So, hopefully that'll be soon. I'm not sure when, but yeah, I believe that's the plan.
Let me ask you this,
there's going to be something for Burning Man, the ballad that's on the record.
Oh, that's a good song too, man.
I love that song, and they're going to do something for that too.
Oh, awesome, awesome! It seems like video medium is our YouTube. It's like the radio of today, because that's where I get most of my music from, YouTube now. Yeah. Or, you know, Spotify or whatever. But
well, and for rock people, I mean, because you know, you're not going to hear any rock on the radio much.
Yeah, Yeah, for sure, for sure. Is there any thought of doing anything live, or is it? I know you're going to be busy as all get out this summer. I'm actually going to see you in Houston, so looking forward to that.
Great, great, great. Well, probably not this year. I don't know, but yes, there's pressure to play live, and we would love to play live if there was any way to make it happen. We would love to do that. It is difficult. Girish is in India. Yeah. George and I are touring big time this year. But having said that, our schedules are going to open up a little bit in 2025. I'm hoping that can lead to stuff. I always have to put in the caveat that, you know, the logistics, the scheduling, everything about playing live for a band like this is really difficult to pull off. But there's the desire on a major level. There is, and like I say, there's some pressure to do it. Like, you know, guys, this would really help. And we would love to do it. So let's see what happens. There is an idea in the works. I'm hoping it can happen, but you know, I'm not going to really talk about it until it's a little more concrete or possible. But let's put it this way: we're working on it.
Nice, nice. Because I think George said that Lynch Mob is retiring this year, and then he's just going to do random stuff, solo stuff, or whatever catalog stuff after that. And then with Foreigner retiring as well. How long does the Foreigner tour last?
Well, we're not retiring. This is just the last year that we're going to do one of those long years of touring.
Oh, 9 months a year. Okay.
We'll do select dates in 2025, I know, but it's going to be a much, much, much different schedule. Like I say, select dates, not like a big long tour. So having said that, there is going to be a little more time. But there's also stuff to do with Foreigner. There are incomplete songs that we want to finish off, which we can hopefully do in 2025. And like I say, select dates. So it's going to still be busy with all the stuff, but my schedule opens up enough that I'm hoping I can get one of these other projects to play live.
That would be awesome, man. That would be awesome. Yeah. Well, I've got to ask this. Doc, and there's some news with Don saying stuff. We don't have to dive into that. I'm sure you've been talking about that to death, but you know, it seems like somebody says something, stuff blows over, and not to bash Don or anything, his vocals aren't what they used to be. Do you think you guys would ever say farewell as Dokken, the original band? I know Mick's got issues as well, physically, so.
Yeah, well, I've said this many times. I would love to do one last final Dokken record. Really put our, you know, put the exclamation part on the legacy. Love that. In 2016, we did a new song for our reunion live record as a bonus. And it was great. And the chemistry of working together hadn't changed one iota. And it was great. We'll see. I mean, like I say, I love it to happen, but it's another thing that seems like it would be difficult to pull off. I do think Mick would not be involved. I think we would use Steve, his younger brother, who's amazing, because I think Mick is truly retired. I don't think he wants to play drums anymore. And you know, right now Don's, you know, promoting his own record, and and giving all appearances that he has no intention of reuniting. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, it always changes over time. And so that's why I never say never. I don't think anybody's closed the door on the possibility of it. We'll see. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. The things that get said kind of roll off my back. You know, I don't even think it kind of matters much anymore. But anyway, having said that, we'll see. I'd love to make it happen. But you know, who knows? I'm not disappointed if it doesn't either.
Yeah, I got you. Been down that road a few times, but
the road and got plenty to do. You know, and
yeah, you're a busy man. Are you still producing much? And I saw you're doing like meditation. I want to ask you. I know we're short on time, but I wanted to ask you about the meditation because I do a little bit of yoga, and I was fascinated that you were doing that. But all mine's linked up to breweries. Like if there's something going on at a brewery where they make beer, I was like, oh, they're doing yoga, I'll go. But that's my motivation. But I ended up really enjoying doing yoga.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I've been doing it now for 46 years. Holy wow. crap. And you know, it's really, it's made my life possible. You know, I mean, I went through a big addiction problem. Fortunately, I've been sober since 1989.
Oh, dude, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, and, awesome. You know, that's, and I think yoga has been a huge part of what's allowed me to stay sober. You know, especially the meditation, the yoga postures and exercises I dearly love, and they're really helpful. And that's what first drew me to yoga. But then I got to study meditation with Richard Hittleman, who's my guru, and it changed my life. And I hold a weekly meditation, a virtual meditation class online, which has been great. And if people are interested in that, go to hotforyogascv.com and get the details, because you can join my virtual meditation class weekly. You'll also get other classes in there. And in fact, we're hosting a retreat May 25th through June 1st in Costa Rica. And
it's nice.
Amazing. Movement, meditation, music, and more. Again, go to hotforyogascv.com and get the details on the Costa Rica retreat, because it's going to be really fun, really exciting, and I'm really excited about that.
That's okay. Awesome, man. Congratulations. Well, Jeff, I know we're short on time. I could talk to you for another hour or two, but you got to go. You're a busy man. So before I let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
Well, thank you, for one. You know, just listen, I'm blessed that I get to do as much music as I do. And it's so great that fans are able to get all this music from so many different artists. And I'm just really grateful that people seem to really like a lot of the projects that I do. And just stay tuned. I've got a lot more up my sleeve.
That's awesome. Well, Jeff, great. Thank you for coming on the Ragman Show. We want to tell the fans to go get the In Machine, the
yes,
Quantum
March 8th,
Phase.
March 8th, Quantum Phase.
It's you got out on Frontiers.
Yeah, on Frontiers. Come, yeah, check out the whole record. It's really a wonderful piece of work.
Oh, and it's just one last comment on Silent Winter. When it first came out, it didn't blow me away, but it's one of those songs, every time I hear it, it's like, oh my God. Solid. And just hearing the record for the first few times, I'm like, this one's gonna grow on me in a huge way, and it could be one of my top records of the year.
Great. Well, thank you. I really stand by this record. I think it's a whole body of work, and boy, I feel good when those kind of things happen.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Well, Jeff, hearts up, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man, thank you.